Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dhirendra Tiwari from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, I welcome you to Q3 FY24 post-result conference call of Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited. We are pleased to have with us today Ms. Gauri Kirloskar, Managing Director, Mr. Rahul Sahai, CEO B2B Business, Mr. Aseem Srivastava, CEO B2C Business. I welcome the management of KOEL on the call. Now, I invite Ms. Gauri Kirloskar to discuss results, following which we will take Q&A. Over to you, Gauri. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. This is Gauri Kirloskar, Managing Director of Kirloskar Oil Engines. Thank you all for joining the call today. I have with me Rahul Sahai, our CEO B2B, Aseem Srivastava, CEO B2C, Ankur Gupta, CFO B2B, Smita Raichurkar, Company Secretary, and Amit Gupta, CFO of ARKA. I will first start with the business update. KOEL had a successful quarter, achieving its highest-ever Q3 sales, contributing to the highest year-to-date sales as well. The gross revenue for the third quarter reached rupees 1,125 crores, reflecting a 14% year-on-year increase. The year-to-date gross revenue totaled rupees 3,428 crores, marking a 17% growth compared to the previous year. Overall demand was strong during the quarter based on the continued focus on infra spend in the Indian markets. We continue to see mixed demand from CPCB II and CPCB IV+ engines. As you all know, the CPCB II engines are allowed to be sold till June of this year, that is 2024, and we expect the mixed demand to continue till then. Even though BS5 has been postponed from April 2024 to January 2025, we are ready with the BS5 engine platform as well. This quarter also marked some more significant milestones for us. We won the NPCIL order for supply of gensets for nuclear power plants. The order value is 768 crores for an order execution over 68 months for the Kudankulam project of NPCIL. This is the largest-ever single order for KOEL. Another development on the international business is the Wildcat acquisition. Kirloskar Americas Corporation acquired a 51% stake of Engines LPG LLC, doing business as Wildcat PowerGen, an Ohio-based limited liability company at an approximate consideration of $357,000. Engines LPG LLC is engaged in the business of designing, manufacturing, selling, and servicing of generators powered by gas, diesel, and other environmental fuel and power solutions under the brand name of Wildcat PowerGen for all types of applications. This acquisition is a step towards business expansion and to enable market development in PowerGen applications for the North American markets. We have also appointed a GOEM called MySpan to serve and grow our business in the Middle East. Now, coming to B2B business updates. In the power generation segment, as I mentioned in the beginning, currently we are experiencing strong demand for our CPCB II gensets. So we are fulfilling the orders, which are a mix of CPCB II and CPCB IV+ gensets. Additionally, there has been noteworthy expansion in the sales of gas gensets, indicating a substantial surge in the adoption of power generation solutions fueled by gas. As of the year-to-date assessment, the sales figures have surpassed the 150-unit mark, affirming a significant and positive trajectory in the sector's performance. In the industrial segment, we have observed a strong demand emanating from the construction and railway sectors. This serves as a confirmation of the ongoing narrative surrounding India's infrastructure development and the government's dedicated emphasis on capital investment in these specific sectors. In this quarter, another endeavor involves a new product line consisting of remanufactured items that delivers performance comparable to new ones, but with a considerably reduced environmental impact. This not only results in financial savings for our customers, but also contributes to lower carbon footprint. Such efforts solidify our dedication to the circular economy, emphasizing a cradle-to-cradle approach. On the B2C side, we continue our stabilization efforts with the RACE strategy, that is reach, agility, cost, and engagement. The diesel and electric pumps have witnessed more than 25% growth during the quarter over last year. Our distributor base grew 22% over last year's Q3. As a part of our widening efforts, we added 26 new channel partners during the quarter. The B2C segment has witnessed notable profitability enhancement as the segment's profit for the year-to-date period reached 36 crores, up 105% compared to 17.5 crores in the previous year. I will now briefly update on the financial performance on a quarterly and a year-to-date basis. These are the standalone numbers for Q3 FY24 financial performance. Net sales at rupees 1,125 crores for Q3 FY24 versus rupees 990 crores for Q3 FY23, a 14% increase year-on-year. EBITDA at rupees 133 crores for Q3 FY24 versus rupees 109 crores for Q3 FY23, which is a 21% increase year-on-year. EBITDA margin is at 11.7% for Q3 FY24 versus 10.9% for Q3 FY23. Net profit is at rupees 82 crores for Q3 FY24 versus 68 crores for Q3 FY23, a 21% increase year-on-year. On the year-to-date numbers, net sales is at rupees 3,428 crores for year-to-date of 24 versus rupees 2,932 crores for year-to-date 23, a 17% increase year-on-year. EBITDA is at rupees 386 crores for year-to-date 24 versus rupees 328 crores for year-to-date 23, which is an 18% increase year-on-year. EBITDA margin is at 11.2% for year-to-date 24 versus 11.1% for year-to-date 23. And net profit is at rupees 244 crores for year-to-date fiscal year 24 versus rupees 205 crores for year-to-date 23, a 19% increase year-on-year. I will now give an update on working capital. As we updated last time, last quarter started with challenges on the supply front due to the continuation of CPCB2 for another 1 year, while CPCB4 Plus was also introduced. As a result, we continue to see demand for both product lines, which has resulted in a complex supply chain and manufacturing situation. To meet demand and customer requirements on delivery timelines, we have made investments in stocking materials that has resulted in higher inventories, which we expect to normalize over the next year as we go through this period of transition. Further, we have also seen an initial recovery of approximately 5 crores from the amount provided for against a customer receivable. We reaffirm that the full balance of the receivable amount was already provided for. Now I will take you through the business-wise standalone revenue breakup for the quarter and year-to-date performance. The B2B business reported sales of 973 crores for the quarter, which indicated growth of 13% year-on-year. The year-to-date sales were at 2,972 crores, which is a 17% growth year-on-year. Within B2B, power generation reported sales of 426 crores for the quarter, which is a 5% year-on-year growth, and 1,388 crores for the year-to-date, which is a 17% year-on-year growth. Industrial segment reported sales of 232 crores for the quarter, which is a 23% year-on-year growth, and 699 crores for the year-to-date, which is a 15% year-on-year growth. Distribution and aftermarket reported sales of 180 crores for the quarter, which is a 17% year-on-year growth, and 539 crores for year-to-date, which is 19% year-on-year growth. The international business reported sales of 135 crores for the quarter, which is 21% year-on-year growth, and 346 crores for year-to-date, which is 19% year-on-year growth. B2C standalone business has reported sales of 152 crores for the quarter, which indicates growth of 16% year-on-year. The year-to-date sales were at 456 crores for the quarter, which is 17% growth year-on-year. Within B2C, Quell Water Management Solutions recorded a revenue of 133 crores for the quarter, which is up by 32%. The farm mechanization business recorded a revenue of 19 crores for the quarter, down by 37% for the quarter and 9% for the year due to seasonality leading to delay in subsidies from the states in which we operate. Now I will update you on the consolidated business. LGM sales were flat but with significant improvement in year-to-date PBT from 11 crores to 25 crores. The new plant construction is going as per schedule. LGM exports grew at 10%. Now I will update you on the consolidated business. During the quarter, Arka FinCap raised 300 crores through the public issue of secured rated listed redeemable non-convertible debentures of face value rupees 1,000 each. The AUM excluding balance sheet items as on December 31st, 2023 was at rupees 4,475 crores. The company is planning to expand their branch offices and also plans to expand the employee base for the growing business requirements. Overall, if you look at the consolidated results, our revenue from operations is at rupees 1,390 crores for Q3 FY24 versus 1,220 crores for Q3 FY23, 14% increase year-on-year. Net profit is at 120 crores for Q3 FY24 versus 88 crores for Q3 FY23, a 36% increase year-on-year. For year-to-date, FY24, revenue is at 4,238 crores for year-to-date FY24 versus 3,640 crores for year-to-date FY23, which is 16% increase year-on-year. And the net profit is at 324 crores for year-to-date fiscal year 24 versus 253 for year-to-date fiscal 23, a 28% increase year-on-year. Please note that this quarter's numbers had an exceptional item of rupees 31 crore due to a provision made for investment in Arka's alternate investment fund due to regulatory changes announced in December 2023. In summary, with a strong performance, we are on our path for the 2X3Y journey, backed by a strong demand in the domestic market. While we are gearing up for the upcoming technology changes in this industry, we feel we stand strong together as a COEL team. Our R&D team at COEL is tirelessly working to establish a competitive edge in the alternative fuels landscape for internal combustion engines, and we will continue this path for a brighter future for all of our stakeholders. Thank you very much for listening, and now we can take your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. And the first question is from the line of Ankit Babel from Shubham Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good evening. My first question is on your guidance of doubling the revenue in 3 years, which you mentioned last year. So FY23, you had shown a growth of 25%. But this year so far, we are running short of that 25% growth rate, which is required. But you still see that, you'll meet your guidance in the next, say, 5 quarters. So, first of all, can you just throw some light that what is giving you that confidence that you still meet the guidance in spite of a slightly lower performance so far?
Thanks very much for your question. It's a great question. And I think what I'd like to say on it is that, yes, you have seen that dip in the growth rate. But if you look at what has happened in the industry, in the B2B industry versus, you know, when we set out our target, there was a delay in the CPCB4 notification that has come about. So we have seen, you know, a specific transition that's happened over the last two quarters, which will play out, and we've still managed to achieve a certain growth rate in spite of not having the kick-in of the price uptick that we would expect on CPCB4. So the way I would answer your question is I still see our performance is very strong when we compare it to our ambition, and we still very much aspire to the ambition that we have set out to achieve by the end of this, by next fiscal year.
So the asking rate next year would be very high, maybe at 30, 35, whatever that percentage number is. So just to reconfirm that that kind of a growth is possible next year, considering the volume and prices, price increases to, you know, considering that.
Yeah, hi, this is Rahul. So pretty much so. See, because what ends up happening is that when you are in a transition year, it's not the product that you are, you know, trying to straddle. It's also the back end and, you know, the readiness that you need to create. So a lot of that work is actually done now. And as a result, we had budgeted for a few leaner months, relatively speaking, and those have happened in this financial year. So we continue to aspire for the vision that we had set for ourselves, the target, and we will continue to focus on that for next year.
Okay, and second is that you know, though you have improved on your operating margins, but if we still see you know, your margins compared to the industry leader, you know, there is a hell lot of difference. So any ballpark idea where do you see your margins? May not be this year, next year, but over a medium term, say in the next 2-3 years, at operating level on the standalone business.
Yeah, so if you look at margins, so margins are also a function of the product profile. And if you've been noticing, we've been making some inroads on the high horsepower side as well. So we're executing some, you know, large genset contracts and things like that. And all of those things help with the margins, along with enhancing our services business. So those are all areas that we're focusing on. So as we mature, we should gravitate pretty close to more mature players in this industry. I wouldn't think of it very differently.
No, so my, sorry to harp on this question again, but since the difference is too huge, so just wanted to know what could be the range. Can you be in the 15% range or what?
So I can't really answer that on this call. But we can definitely aspire for a stronger margin profile for sure.
Okay. And any views? And is your ARCA business now self-sustainable in nature? I mean, since you have already said that you won't invest more than 1,000 crores in that business, so is it now self-sufficient?
Yes, that's right. We are not going to invest more than 1,000 crores, and the business is now on its way to raise external capital as well, and we feel that it is strongly positioned for that.
So can we now think of demerging this business?
No, that's not how quickly we would make that decision. And you know, it's something that will play out over time. You know, there's many factors at play for us to make that kind of decision.
No, any one particular reason which is preventing you to demerge? Just wanted to understand, since it is self-sufficient, there won't be any infusion from Kirloskar Oil. Then what's the reason of you know, running it in this company? Just wanted to understand that.
So you know, I'm not going to be able to answer your question. I basically, the way that we look at feeding businesses and growing businesses is in a patient and you know, in a way that is right for the business. So we will go forward and take the appropriate steps in a well thought out way. It's, you know, what you're suggesting is jumping many steps ahead.
Okay. Thank you, that's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Agarwal from Ambit Global Private Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, I good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So a couple of questions from mine. So the first one is, during the quarter, what was the contribution from CPCP for Genset?
So contributions in terms of volume, I would say roughly about 15 to 20% was CPCP 4 and the rest of it was CPCP 2. We expect the CPCP 4 volumes to continue to increase as we move closer towards the June of this year.
Okay, okay. All right. And just to understand, so what's a margin profile, let's say, if you compare CPCB 2 versus CPCB 4 plus, so how much is the difference in terms of the absolute margin?
So it would be somewhat similar, but there are variations from node to node, and I don't think I can give that away on this call.
Okay, okay. That's fair. Second is regarding the OptiPrime range, which we introduced recently. So how has been the order book shaping up?
So we've received a fairly positive response to that. We have a relatively strong order board when it comes to OptiPrime. There's tremendous traction from a lot of our customers, especially if you look at infrastructure and real estate, the customers have been pretty positive. So we are hoping to carry that forward in the next financial year. We are executing OptiPrime orders across the range in this financial year. So we are already in process of doing that.
Okay, understood. And this is just the last question. So our exports in the quarter was roughly about 30-odd%. So where do you see this number shaping up next in 2 years, 3 years down the line?
So our ambition is to have exports be about 30% of our business. So we will make strategic moves in line with that. As you saw our MD talking, so we've made investments in the US along with appointment of a GOEM in the Middle East in this quarter. So we are evaluating all options and we want to grow the international business. However, we'll do it strategically and purposefully.
Understood. That's it from mine. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Teena Virmani from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Congratulations for a good set of numbers, first of all. And my question is related to power gen segment of the company during the current quarter. The growth was a little weaker than what you would have seen in, let's say, the industrial distribution and even exports. So is it more to do with the demand or is there anything specific that would have impacted the sales of power gen segment during the quarter?
We continue to see a strong demand. Right now we are straddling between CPCB2 and CPCB4. So I think it's a lot of rigor around execution that we are focusing on. I don't see the demand softening or any issue on that end. We have a pretty strong pending order board which we'll carry forward in this coming quarter.
Okay, so this quarter, ideally, the demand would have, like you mentioned, that this would have been more dominated by CPCB2.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so in the coming quarter, again, it will be four. It will be more or less demand coming in from CPCB2. So can we expect a little better growth in the power gen segment, or it may be because that challenge will continue to remain in quarter four also between CPCB2 and CPCB4. So how do you see this traction in the power gen segment, particularly when the demand drivers are much stronger in the industry?
Yeah. So what's going to happen is as we approach red line, the contribution of CPCB4 is going to increase. What was 15% in the last quarter will slowly keep increasing because even our GOEMs would want to mitigate risk of stocking CPCB2 gensets with them because the guideline says that there is the deadline for both OEMs and the engine manufacturers are co-terminating. The deadline is co-terminating in June. So CPCB4 is going to slowly come in the forefront in any case. In quarter four, we may still see a lot of CPCB2, but a higher contribution of CPCB4 plus than what we did in the last quarter.
Okay, got it. And my second question is related to gross margin of the company during current quarter. We have seen an improvement on a year-on-year basis for COEL for 3Q. So what led to this increase? Is it more driven by CPCB 4 plus or is it more driven by HHP contribution into your product mix or maybe export or distribution?
If you look at what's been happening, we've been executing more orders in the medium and high horsepower range. That's number one. Number two, if you look at our distribution and aftermarket business, we are seeing a higher penetration there. Also, if you look historically, our contribution from international business is higher in the last quarter than what it has been same time last year or in the previous quarter. So these are the three main profitability drivers.
Okay. And on your B2C division, if I may ask this the last question, on your B2C division, is the B2C division at similar profitability as B2B division or like what kind of sales would be required for this division to see a better absorption of cost?
Yeah, so if you see in the results, B2C margins are already there.
Yeah.
On the console, if you see, it is already there.
Okay. Yeah. I'll check that.
Yeah.
Sure, that's it from my side, sir. I'll check that B2C margin and come back with follow-up questions.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Sina.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have two questions though. So my first one will be on the B2C business wherein we saw a 4.8% EBIT margin during the quarter. So how sustainable is the profitability for this B2C business and can you help me with the trajectory in which the improvement can come in the next 1.5-2 years?
Yeah, thanks. So this is Aseem here. So if you see, last year we came up with a strategy of RAISE where we were focusing on margin improvement in LGM and also growth in WMS. Now, these two things we have achieved where the WMS business is growing by around 25% to 30% and LGM is now very stable with margins of around 5% to 6%. So whatever strategy we adopted, I think this is sustainable and there will be some improvement in margins going forward. And in LGM also, around 10 to 15% growth is possible going forward.
So, sir, in the medium to longer run, can we expect that 8 to 10% margin levels in this business, which will contribute to your 2x, 3y strategy, if you can just give?
Yeah, so if you see our pump and small engine business, already they are at 8 to 9% margins.
So farm mechanization is where we are getting pinched.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. My second question will be on ARKA. So ARKA saw fantastic growth in AUM quarter on quarter as well as the revenue was up significantly on year-on-year basis. However, the profits were significantly down. So just needed to know the reason for lower profitability during this quarter.
Yeah, that's due to the exceptional item. So I'll let Amit, are you there? Will you explain it, please?
Yeah, ma'am, I'm there. Rahul, you got the right point in place. If you remember, there is a RBI circular which has come in the month of November, which has given a mandate for any NBFC to provide for the investment they have made in any AIF and if both the entity have a common downstream investment. So ARCA has made an investment to the extent of a 30.8 crore in ARCA Credit Fund 1 in the sponsor, sub-sponsor kind of a category. Because they have a one common investment, that is why because of the regulatory provision, we have to make a provision of 30.8 crore in Q3 itself in December 2023. Had this provision not been there, our PAT for the quarter would have been approximately 24 crore. Currently, I'm sure the reported number which is coming in the media is roughly around 4 crore or odd at ARCA independent level. Had this provision not been there, it would have been at 24 crore.
24 crore in total, right?
For the quarter itself.
Yeah. So can we so the profitability can come back in Q4 onwards? This is a quarter.
Yeah, for the quarter, definitely it will come back.
It's an exceptional one-time item.
Yeah,
one-time item.
As the fund life will get over, the amount will be coming back. The provision will be get reversed.
Done, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks. Yeah. That's it from my side. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Rahul.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar Parekh from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity. So first question is on this price difference between CPCB2 and CPCB4+. What would be the price difference on average? I understand from different nodes it will be different, but broadly, can you give us a range?
Hi, Sagar, 40%.
40%. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you mentioned that this 15% of our volumes were at a higher price, still our power gen overall growth was only 5%. So I'm not just able to reconcile that revenue number then so maybe if you can throw some light on that.
You're asking for the quarter?
Yeah, for the quarter. So the power gen revenue growth is 5% for the quarter. And you're saying 15% of the volumes would have been at a higher price of 40%.
Yeah. So actually, if you look at the last year, same quarter, we had an unusually high and we were executing some one-time orders on PowerGen, which is why actually same time last year was higher than our normal, which is why the growth looks muted. But if you look at on a year-to-date basis, you will see that the PowerGen performance is much stronger.
Got it. And for the quarter four, do we expect any kind of pre-buy for CPCB2? Or are you already seeing pre-buy already doing in the market?
Yeah, so we are expecting some amount of pre-buy, although people are going to be slightly careful. So it won't be to the same extent as what we saw earlier, but we are expecting some pre-buy to kick in, yes.
So if I remember correctly, I think last year, I mean this year, current year, the pre-buy was about 100 crores, if I'm not wrong. So
right.
You're saying that for this quarter, the amount will be slightly lower than that.
Yeah, we'll should be lower than that, yes.
Okay. And if I heard you correctly, you are still sticking to your guidance of 6,500 crores top line for FY25 from standalone business.
Yeah, so we still continue to drive that as a target.
Okay, interesting. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Sagar.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Proline, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi team. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I just want to understand that for the...
Sorry to interrupt you. There's some disturbance on your line. So can you just speak a little closer to the mic?
Sure. I will do that, Gauri. So is it better now?
Yes, much better. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. So I just wanted to understand that, for the 9 months FY24, have we lost any market share in power gen segment? And how do you define market share? Is it in the product segment where we are present, or do we assume the entire market share? And where I'm coming from is that, you know, the market leaders for 9 months have grown at a much more faster pace than what we have done, right, in some sense. And, you know, when we had defined this 2x3y strategy, we wanted to gain market share in the high horsepower kind of segment as well, where our market share was low. So from that point of view, and assuming that there is a 40% price hike in CPC before, you know, genset, in terms of volume, have we lost some market share? Because that's what, you know, our whatever publicly data that is available, that's what it points to, right? I mean, so is that a correct assessment? And if not, why is this number a bit on the lower side versus the market leader?
Yeah, so if you look at our market share on power generation side, excluding telecom, because one of the things that we have consciously taken a call, if something is not profitable, we are not going to get into it beyond a point. So we want to enhance value for the organization. But if you look at our market share excluding telecom, our market shares have remained somewhat similar. Of course, if you look at node-wise market shares, we have gained some market share at the higher end, a few percentage points, and at the lowest end, we've lost a little bit of market share because of our own, it was like an intentional call. So, but if you look at without telecom, the market shares are somewhat similar. They're not very different.
Okay, so X of telecom in lower nodes, you are saying market share is similar, right? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, the market shares haven't changed too much, barring telecom market. I mean, that's a different kind of market.
Sure, sure. And in higher nodes, right, I mean, where was our market share, let's say, a year back before we embarked on this 2x3y journey? And can you tell us a little bit about your aspirational market share that you want to be in 3 to 5 years time, right? And what are some of the white spaces where we have, not exactly white spaces, but what are some of the right to win segments, use case that we are targeting, where we think that we can gain, you know, over some of the existing players?
Sure. So if you look at the power generation market overall, what you will see is that the market is broadly categorized. So you look at, say, 750 kVA upwards, 250 to 750 kVA and below 250 kVA. Now, if I look at 750 kVA upwards, our market share was single digits at, say, 750 and 1010 kVA. We've grown that to double digits. We had practically no presence beyond that. Now we have a few single digit percentage points in. Now, especially when you compare that to the revenue and the margins, there's a significant gain there as a result of, you know, node by node focus and entry into the higher nodes. So just to give you a sense of how the market is, on the lowest end, like I said, if there are segments that are, you know, that are not making money or are not profitable, then we at times have taken conscious calls. And as a result, we may have seen some intentional drop in market share there. Overall, however, we are at very similar market share. There's not much change.
Sure. So now just to double click a little bit on that, if you can talk about certain segments that you are targeting, certain use case that you are targeting to gain this market share, and if you can probably help us understand what can be that aspirational market share in higher nodes in 3 to 5 years' time.
So one of the segments is infrastructure, and we're seeing a lot of growth in that segment. We aspire for 20% market share in most of the segments that we operate in now. At least 20%, and we see a significant opportunity there. So, I mean, since you asked for a segment, infra segment is fast growing. It contributes to a large chunk of our portfolio, and we would aspire for 20% market share across the nodes.
Okay. And anything on data centers? I mean, when you said that in higher KPA, we have got some single-digit market share. So if I talk about just data centers, is it fair that there also we have got some certain single-digit market share?
Correct, correct. So data centers are also some of our customers that we are executing our orders with. Most of our orders are in 500 to 1010 kVA range. Slowly we are also getting inquiries and leads, and we are in advanced stages talking about, say, 2000 kVA and upwards. So those conversations are also happening.
Sure. And on this press release, right, of this JV with Man Energy France SAS, is this any way related to the NPCIL order that we won? And if not, what is this regarding, if you can share a little bit more texture on this JV?
Sure. So it's not a joint venture. It's a transfer of technology specific purposes. But at this point, I won't be able to comment on whether it's related to NPCIL or not.
Okay, okay. But in future, you think that this technology transfer will help us, target a larger market in the domestic side of it or the export side of it? I mean, how did we decide on build versus buy, or this technology agreement, if that also can help me?
What I can say is that it's not a strategic larger cooperation. So it's for a very specialized purpose. And in case there is a larger cooperation we are evaluating or that we sign off, we will update you.
Okay, fair point. And Corey, my one question to you would be that, as we have already, you have reiterated that we are online for our 2x, 3y strategy. But when we look at the margins, we have already reached double digits, right? So that is something which we have already achieved, maybe 6 quarters before what we had targeted for. So is there a need to probably set some higher targets when it comes to margin in terms of mid-teens, low-teens, right? I mean, anything on that?
We will aspire to improve from where we are. Thanks for acknowledging that we have made that improvement. As Rahul also mentioned in response to an earlier question, I think, and Aseem as well, I think there is still scope for us to improve. So, we hope to show you that improvement in the coming quarters.
No, that's great, Rory. Thanks a lot. What I was wanting to think was, in putting that out on the presentation so that, everybody on the firm is also aligned, that was my objective.
It already says double digit. So what exactly are you looking for?
No, I mean, in terms of, we have already reached that double digit, right? So I was just thinking better in terms of mid-teens to low-teens kind of number that we want to put it.
Yeah, so I mean, I think you know where the competition is at and where, where strategically we are looking at making improvements, whether we've talked about, the high horsepower space or service penetration or the export side. So we do see that, there is scope for us to improve margins, but I'm not going to talk about a very specific number. Because I think, we will know where that ends up.
Yes, thanks a lot for that. Lastly, on this 5 crores that we recovered, if you can just remind us as to what was the total that we had already provided for, and what are the kind of mechanism that we are using to probably, recover the remaining, which is receivable. While I understand that we have only provided for that, but what was the total amount that was provided for, and do we expect recovery to continue happening down the line as well, or this was 5 crores was the best that could have happened from that account?
Sure, happy to answer that. So if you remember over the course of last year, the last couple, maybe 3 quarters, we have fully provided for this amount, which was a total of approximately 47 crores. So with this 5 crore recovery, we now stand at an outstanding of 41. And the team is continuing to make, full efforts to recover the outstanding amount.
Great. Thanks a lot and all the best. And thank you for answering the question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question is more on the export side of the business. So on exports, that is one of the key pillar to achieve our 2X, 3Y guidance. We have already reached 150 crores kind of a quarterly run rate on the export side of the business. I just wanted to know that, when we listen to your competitors' commentary, they guide us for a very muted kind of a export market and the demand has been slowing down globally. So in that background, what is our thought process with regards to exports? Because I think we were targeting somewhere around about 30% kind of a contribution coming up from exports. So we have already established our GOEM in the Middle East and US. But how do you look at exports growing in the current challenging environment? If you can please help us understand that.
Hey, thanks for asking that question. This is Rahul. I understand that a lot of the industry players are seeing muted international business volumes. However, if you look at from our business lens, the opportunity to grow is still very much there because our base is relatively smaller. So once the basic strategy moves are in place and we are geared for growth, and which is what we are currently trying to establish. So one example is the GOEMs that we've set up both in the US as well as in the Middle East now. So once we have the structure for manufacturing and the distribution set up, I do see that over a period of time we should be able to get to a much higher level of contribution. And yes, we aspire for 30% export contribution at a mature stage.
Secondly, on the FMS side of the business, right? So that business is witnessing sharp sort of a decline in a quarter, and even when you look at the 9 months number, the number looks pretty muted. So what is the outlook there, slightly from a longer term point of view, both on the WMS and FMS side? What is the kind of contribution that we are expecting from that particular business, and what kind of margins do we anticipate this particular business to contribute? If you can just help us understand that.
Sure, Amit. Good question. I'll answer first on FMS, your question on FMS, and then I'll let Aseem answer on the WMS side. So as a leadership team, we are re-looking at our overall business strategy in the farm mechanization business. The performance of, this last quarter and overall has not been in line with our expectations, and I feel there is a need to relook at the strategy that we have there. The agriculture segment is of strategic importance to us, and we want to ensure that we reach our customers with the right products and at the right price in all of the marketplaces where the customer wants us to be. We also know that this market is evolving. It's highly fragmented, and there's many organized as well as unorganized players. The market dynamics are different state to state, depending on crops, depending on seasonality, and also different subsidies. So we haven't actually been very successful in managing it well. So I think there is a need to reevaluate our strategy here. The good news is it's a small business for us when we compare it to our overall portfolio. So changing course will be relatively easy for us, and Aseem and his team will be working on this, and I hope to see that improvement in the coming months. I will let him respond on the WMS question.
Yeah, thanks, Gauri. So WMS actually has two components. One is the pump business, and second is the small engine business. So if you see this year, both these businesses have a very strong growth of 25 and 30%. So we have definitely captured market share. And there is a significant improvement in margin also. both small engine pump business have a margin EBITDA of around 8 to 9% now. We are confident that this year we will be able to maintain this growth and margin for the WMF business, which is 90% of a B2C business.
And if you can just highlight which are the end markets, you know, which is driving the growth, both for the pumps and is it more on the residential side, agri side of the business, and even on the engine side?
Yeah. So if you see on the pump side, we focus into the domestic pumps and the agri pumps. And both these sides, we had 25 to 30% growth. On small engine, the construction sector is one, and the OEM market is the second where we are seeing significant growth. But see, the market is not growing at that rate. Market is growing at 4 to 5%. We are growing at this rate because of our race strategy.
And any market share data points that you would like to share? What is our current market share at this point of time and incrementally what we aspire to?
So see, this is very, very fragmented, segment. No one player has more than 10 to 12% market share. Our current market share is around 5% in pump. In small engine, our market share is 30%.
My last question would be on ARKA. We have done a provision of 31-odd crores in this particular quarter because of the change in the RBI regulations. I just wanted to reconfirm that have we done the 100% provisions or can we expect some more provision to materialize even in Q4?
No, it's a 100% provision.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you. Thank you for answering all the questions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. As that was the last question, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Shah from NT Stock Broking for closing comments.
So thank you everyone for joining us on the call. I'd also like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. I'll request Ms. Gauri Kirloskar to make the closing remark, post which we can close the call. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Amit, to you and your team for hosting the call. And thank you very much for all of the investors who have joined and shown interest in the company. Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.